The one thing I did forget to mention, if you picked up on that one piece pipe that was installed, the black piece pipe, we're installing thermistors, which is temperature sensors underneath the tank every 15 feet. And we've got 5 runs of those thermistors, so we'll be able to see the temperature profile underneath that tank every 15 feet. And so we'll know exactly what's going on under that tank and be able to monitor it. And as far as the life, design life, 75-year design life, so we made sure that in the event that the if climate change, Fairbanks warms, although this morning it didn't feel like that was going to happen because it was minus 30, and we can no longer get the cooling necessary out of the passive refrigeration system, we can add the cooling capacity from the LNG or mechanical refrigeration to keep the ground frozen, regardless of what the ambient conditions do in the future.
Thank you.
What is the app that you spoke of?
I'll send you, I'll send it through Carson, but I'll send the app that you can download. It has a password as well that's required for it, but I'll send that to you, whoever's interested.
Fairbanks has the honor of being one of the nation's coldest cities, and the last 2 weeks we've proven that.
It's
been nasty.
It's been cold.
The wind has been interesting. We normally don't have that kind of wind, but the wind has been chilling.
Isn't that good for sales?
Don't get me wrong, I sell winter. It's hard to sell.
Good for sales, tough for the construction activities. Like those guys had to do a lot of snow removal. Every layer had to get all the snow removed, and then when we put those thermal siphon pipes in, they had to remove all that snow by hand over the entire
mat. How did they shoot a vacuum truck?
They had power brooms going, they had leaf blowers going, they had everything going. Because you couldn't drive around there. The whole thing was
covered in. You could put a 100-foot 4-inch hose on there and suck it up like Sherman went through Atlanta.
I'm going to give you the foreman your
name. And I've got the help them out. Absolutely. My mom raised ugly kids, not dumb ones. You got a pollution to all your pollution.
So Dan, don't go anywhere. Where are we at on the conversion special?
HR and Dan and I work on working for a position. We did transmit that to IGU. General Stewart spoke to their chairman. They had a couple of suggestions that we thought were reasonable. We're going to incorporate those in to that position description. And I indicated to Joma that we do need an official indication from them that they are approved with that position we hired. And we are expecting to get that.
Can we give give a preference to an Alaskan? They've done a lot of conversions in Anchorage here in the valley. Can we make sure we get an Alaskan for this job or try to, please?
Definitely, it's going to be a position at FNG.
Yeah.
Ultimately, then transfer those to the consolidated utilities. So it's going to be a person in charge.
Perfect.
Gary?
I would just suggest, we've been beat up on the conversion issue. Some of it's legitimate, most of it is not. But I would suggest that we get away from using the word conversions. Because really, we do have conversions where people are going to convert from oil to gas. But also, we have new foundations where people are going to put in a new boiler. And then we also, as in Gene's case, we're having facilities that just are timed out. And you need a new replacement, not a conversion, it's a replacement. So really, there's 3 verticals there. So I would hope that we don't just get away from conversion. But I suggest that we call it the customer crusade, because that's really what we're after.
Customer crusade. And have them ride horses with armor on.
But we're after those people 2 years from now to have confidence in this system. And that's why we're doing this. And so when the time comes to sign them up, we want a line at the door. And that's 3 different needs for gas. And we play into the hands that those that can't see the forest for the trees when we just continue to talk about conversions. So I just offer that for the record and for you guys to think about.
I was just going to add, and now that we have a definitive timeline to when additional supplies are available, we've refocused some of our internal efforts at FNG as well, discussing our responses to customers now, where we can direct them to, we will have LNG for you by this date. We can start adding service by this date, perhaps even as early as this date. I've refocused our operations manager and requested he get updated the new pamphlets from all mechanical supply houses out of Fairbanks that have the recommended boilers for customers that if they can't wait for until the tank is built, that they have the best choice for conversion to minimize their conversion costs or needs once the LNG is available. So now that we have a direct line of sight to where we can add customers, we're also doing that internally now as well prior to the new hire coming in.
Dan, can I ask you to think about my example, Jim, that we spoke about? And we know Jim, so, but he's a square away guy. But I use him as just the poster child. So anything that you're going to put out to Jim's, would you make sure that we get our hands on it too?
Sure, and that was the example. I had a whole meeting on Jim to discuss how we respond to those inquiries and how we deal with those. And we've changed the way we look at those and the way we're going to communicate with customers. We're going to have a for our front office personnel that field the calls from the get-go and give them better direction. Also have a Q&A that they can follow that provides them with what the responses we want them to be giving the customers.
Mr. Chairman, just a lighter moment report. Connecting to my senatorial colleague from Fairbanks, I once had a job applicant in Barrow who, under reasons for wanting the job, he was in Fairbanks, said he wanted to move someplace warmer. That's a true story.
Guy, the person you know.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, since you brought up the conversion session. The IGU board recently also received the report from their conversion consultant. I believe it will be a useful document once the two utilities are done, and the personnel that we are hiring will be a body of work that they can then help to implement. One of the findings in that is a suggestion that on-bill repayment or financing mechanism that will be available to the utility will be very helpful, particularly with residential customers. And there, I've been with a Fairbanks representative on that legislation. So I think both the efforts that IGU has had on conversion, now the efforts at FNG, the existing service provider, the personnel that's going to be hired, reconfiguration of the work and conversion group in Fairbanks, that combination of lenders, mechanical contractors, local utilities, it's all sort of coming together, and as Dan indicated, now that we've got a specific date that we can start talking to people about, you know, when the resources are available, it really helps to get that.
Isn't there precedence for doing that? I mean, don't utilities now, I know Golden Valley, we put in a three-phase system, it was almost $600,000, and they finance, and I just say monthly payments at a very reduced interest rate, and it worked out perfect. So there isn't there precedent for utilities to do this kind of thing?
There is murky, and basically what the lawyers have told us is the statute is silent on it. The example that you just gave was the customer paying for part of the utility system. That's on the outside of your wall. That belongs to the utility. The conversion is what you do to help the customer with.
That's a good point. Yeah, we pay for it for the utility.
Yeah.
So why don't we have the residents pay for all the utility sites then? That'd be great.
At some point, we probably will.
So I have a couple questions. One is there a plan to actually start putting services to the customer's outside wall prior to the tank being storage tank to try to get ahead of instead of having a lot of services all at once to try to have homes ready prior. Is that people thought about that or?
Yeah, so my position on that and the direction that I've given and Gary's example is kind of goes to that question, particularly for new construction. Is that any inquiries for new construction whether it be residential or commercial, from now on, that people actually want a service installed ahead of time, our response is that we'll do that. The one thing we're considering is we want to not, we don't want people just putting services behind them because it's a nice thing to do and if they want to tell people if they sell their home, gas is available, right? We've got that expense because we subsidize the installation. So what we've done in the past, and we'll probably do it again as long as everybody concurs, is have what I call a six-month conversion agreement. So within 6 months of the gas being available to you to use, or from us putting your line in, you agree to begin using the gas, and if you don't, you'll pay for the actual cost of the service installation. If you do, you pay the $50 that's the subsidized cost. That keeps people from just
speculating,
putting it in just because it's something nice to have.
Service cost.
It's been around $800 to $1,300 for a residence, and somewhere around $2,500 to $4,500 for a commercial, depending on the size of the meter. Larger commercials can get much bigger, higher than that, mostly in the meter cost and the regulated cost. The lines themselves are, depends on, you know, concrete, pavement. You know, new construction is great for us, and we love to be able to take advantage of new construction because they've usually got the yard all torn apart and we don't have to do any restoration work. We can come in, we can do open excavation straight to the house and backfill and we're out of there, and they take care of the landscaping as part of their overall construction. So that's the idea. The next question for us is, depending on how the tank build is going, as long as everything's on target for schedule, which I'm confident we will be, then we might be looking at, you know, in 2019, just going ahead and saying, okay, the doors are open, we've got service available, we see the lights, we're going to be filling this tank in the next few months, let's go ahead and get these services moving quicker.
And so, on the IGU side, do they have a formally adopted business plan or performance? On the combined utilities?
Sir, they do have a plan for the conversion or combination to utilities. I know Dan, you've had some input or seen a copy of it.
So do they have an adopted performance? I mean, they have a business plan, adopted performance with a matrix in order to judge how it's going. Has the board done that?
I'm not sure if you can say, take it to the adopted performance. They use the pro forma in evaluating, finalizing the PSA and the finance agreement that laid out some scopes of work and requirements as far as the bond authorizations, and it's that pro forma that was driving everything. I'm not sure that their board has officially adopted that pro forma side. They definitely have one that they're using that's guiding them and guided their decision to move forward with the PSA and the FAA.
Is it an unreasonable ask to have that happen at closing so that we turn into a lender? We have a metric to judge their performance by? That's typically what happens in the business world.
It's a requirement within components of the finance agreement that they be able to meet certain criteria with the financing, coverage ratios. Mark, you probably can rifle them off the top of your head better than I can, but which would include their projections of their capital cost installations, the number of customers that they're going to add, their ability to repay bonds, and then the debt financing and minimum coverage ratios, et cetera. So
build this plan of performance that tell everybody what their expectations are, so we're not second-guessing. I think we should have that.
Yeah, we do have that as a baseline as part of the agreement.
It is part of the agreement itself in the AG1 platform.
Has it been formally approved by the board, their board?
Well, yes, the extent that those are in the financing agreement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they signed the financing agreement.
And that was part of the financing agreement.
The requirements for coverage and the other things Dan was talking about was part of it.
Yeah.
The capital plan that reflected the cost that they're going to cover through rates,
right,
was part of it.
So bottom line is they know what they signed up for. They signed their names, they signed.
They haven't bought it yet.
It's signed, it hasn't closed.
That's right.
But it's going to close here very, it's going to close here very soon if
we hope. I just want to make sure that we have something that shows what their expectations are, what their plan going forward is, formally, and what their budget for combined utility performance is expected to be over the next few years. Because it makes it a lot simpler as a lender to track how they're doing. That doesn't mean it can't be modified as time goes on. We have to have a baseline. And I haven't seen that, quite frankly.
Well, and sure, they're going to have a fiscal year 19 budget approved before June 30th.
Yeah,
that's
for 1 year.
So, Mr. Chairman, do you have fear that this isn't going to be go through?
No. It's just that we transition from an owner to a lender.
Yeah. I think it's my opinion is we have to do this. We have no choice. It's the only way to move forward in Fairbanks. I know there's still some dissenters, but it's hard to believe, but we still have a few.
When I was thinking about conversion, is the concern or limitation on conversion access to capital or access to subsidy from a homeowner's perspective?
Well, we want mechanisms to be in place that help bring low-cost capital and possibly a grant can perhaps come through to the utility, maybe through the borough's government, accessing the EPA9 attainment plan. So we're just trying to put tools in place that we can facilitate that.
Where I was, I'm just brainstorming, but is it possible we should roll up a pool of a loan out of the ADA revolving loan fund to the utility for conversion purposes at our standard rates and terms?
I'm not sure that's the most efficient tool for the cost of capital that the ADA revolving fund requires. I think Gene has been working as IAP team lead on other instruments that would better serve that purpose. It's something that would be available, but I understand that there are lower cost of capital tools for this purpose.
Mr. Chairman, back when the local conversion working group was engaged, and again, local lenders, mechanical contractor, there were a couple of in-state lending institutions that indicated that within their portfolio, they had slices of low-cost capital. Now, whether that is still available because it sort of languished for about 2 years because of the surrounding project, we would certainly want that group to investigate that possibility first.
And IU or the borough should be able to do that on the tax plan. That would be the lowest cost. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, have we given any thought to the Gene to the escalation in the price position in the Fairbanks market with the F-35s coming in? I mean, you're about to have a market in terms of contractors is going to be pretty hot.
It's one of the things that, unfortunately, our timing is what it is.
Their timing is what it is.
Yeah. Right. But we certainly want to, and I know that the mayor, I think, our board is moving out, and if he can line up the availability of the product as the housing is being built, we very much want to capture as much of that as our customers right from the get-go. There's no cheaper heating unit than the one that is first installed for gas. Not from propane to gas, not from fuel oil to gas, it's ready to use gas right from the first day.
Were you referring to the competition in the mechanical contractor market?
Yes.
That can be a challenge. The contractors that participate in projects such as the work going on in the F-35, some of them tend not to focus on the smaller work, the smaller residential work, so you have a different pool of contractors that you're looking at for that work.
I would say you would have no problem in Fairbanks getting the furnace guys put in and do the retrofits. As you're right, the big mechanical contractors like Patrick Mechanical aren't going to do a home anyway, so you don't need to worry about that.
I guess I was thinking more of the overlap between the new housing market and the retrofit market.
Well, the new housing market wouldn't use those big mechanical contractors either. They would use all the small guys with that lot of stuff.
Then they're tied up. That's where I was going. And I'm just thinking out loud.
Jim, could you give us an update on the program?
If I could just go through just a couple of last things on conversion. I know that AEA has really taken on and continues to work with the large municipalities about information of PACE. That's one of those tools that can help with conversion of businesses. So AEA shop continues to work on that. With the on-bill repayments or financing, again, I've been working with Representative Adam Wall in Fairbanks. He introduced the House Bill 374 in its first hearing. That is me actually be going on right now, still going on. I work closely with his staff. Big thing there, the focus was to avoid fiscal note. So on Monday when the fiscal note was put out from the RCA zero, so Dan gets to show drawings and time-lapse photography, and I get to show him that zero fiscal note. In today's situation in zero, this is very important that we got a zero fiscal note. So that bill, first hearing today, it'll be back up next week. We believe we've got a pretty good track to get it moving along. And then I also continue to get updates from Senator Murkowski's staff about ongoing funding through that EPA non-attainment grant. The expectation this year is that the borough will get $4 million. Out of that, I think there's a total of $20 million pot competitively awarded, and I anticipate that and what I'm trying to track down with them is under the two-year budget deal that was structured in the Congress, is that ongoing funding is assured, and I believe it's going to be, but I'm still waiting to hear about all that. So I think that's on conversion. Then on Senate Bill 125, which is Senator Pete Kelly's legislation to extend the time deadline on the authorized bonds for the IDC project, it passed the Senate unanimously. Unfortunately, when the schedule was put out to notice a hearing on the House side, they hadn't received the Senate bill yet, so they have the first hearing, or they're scheduling the first hearing on the House Bill 261. Which is identical bill. That hearing took place on Monday. I was there to respond to all the questions on the project. The second hearing on that bill will be next week. At that time, two bills will come together. The Senate bill will be the one that's reported out. So we'll be one committee away from that bill going up for the final four action. So I think we're on track to get that piece of legislation passed this year.
Who's carrying it in the House for you?
Representative Steve Thompson. And there has been some, because it's an ADA bill, moving this through the process, people that are working with ADA projects come and look for vehicles to attach things to. We know that those things are out there. Senator Kelly has certainly let people know that he's not opposed to that, just as long as people can assure that his bill doesn't get bogged down and run the risk of not passing. So I think we're in a pretty good position to get that legislation passed, and also the on-bill repayment mechanism passed this year. And actually, on the sort of an aside on the air quality issue, of course, though, a lot of this is we want to deliver a low-cost product. We believe that it will be a key part of the Central Borough achieving their air quality. The DEC, working with the local government under EPA review, their air quality modeling consultant contacted me about a week ago, just one updated information on the tank will be finished, when we can possibly serve another customer, and so I owe him information that I will try to hopefully today or tomorrow on that front. So just to let you know that they're watching this project very closely, and they believe and rightfully so that it is a key component of the local government getting control of the air quality issue. The last issue is just the North School Path. We have discussed with you previously a sublease. We did get a request from IGU to make some possible modifications to the lease, and I know that Mr. Hamsett and Jerry DeBailey, who have been dealing with the negotiation, approached our sublessor on the suggestion of the IGU, hoping that could be a little bit on the higher insurance threshold. And I think that was not rebuffed in the greater chance of achieving that. The other request that they had was that the sublease, which will take up 1/3 of the North Globe pad, but 100% of the right-of-way that connects to the fuel gas system up there, that be utilized in a way that, if at all possible, it would accommodate somebody using the other 2/3 of the pad also that might have an easier access to the fuel gas line, that they try and do so in means that would potentially facilitate that in the future. I think somebody that wants to do something on the other 2/3 would probably still have to go to the farm for a right-of-way access to tap into that fuel gas line. The DNR is all about activity taking place on the pad, and so we'll be very supportive of getting that if it was necessary. I know that DNR is working with our proposed sublessor. DNR is also working with the DNR our request that the lease be transferred to IGB. They've indicated to us via email that they have all the information that they need from us at this time.
Jane, can you give us an update on the RCA docket?
Yes, on the RCA docket, and actually back up to utility consolidation, that is one of the issues under utility consolidation. We did meet the deadline to the application to the RCA for them to allow transfer of the service territory to ICU. There were public comments that were submitted. The close of public comments was February 9th. We actually coordinated a response to the public comments that were submitted to provide some clarifying information with IGU. They submitted a response, and we did also, but we shared information back and forth before our individual responses to the public comments were submitted. And so that has been done. We are still waiting, though, either from the RCA whether they will grant us an expedited review and determination on that docket. That's docket U18001. We have not heard back on that yet. And so we'll see back on that soon. I think they are aware that we've got the target closing date and the end of May. Hopefully they will take action to help facilitate that. Because the transferability to consolidate, not actually consolidate, but to transfer the territory to IG control is the key component of that, of the closing. We have also put together a list of all the little closing documents. I know, when I buy a house, I think it's just going to sign a loan that there's a box of little documents to be signed. We want to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks, and so we have had our consultant put together that long laundry list shared with IG to make sure that we're in agreement of all those things, again, that need to be anticipated before the closing date. So I think that's where we are on the consolidation.
Okay. Gene and Dan, thank you for your response to the 17 public comments. I think that will expedite and certainly support our request for an expedited hearing. That's well worth reading, and I read them, and I took a lot of comfort in the fact that they were not very, the ones that were against it were not, had little or no substance. And those from the mayors and those people that you went out and asked for public comment, the 1030s of the world, they're very compelling documents, and RCA is going to read those. Thanks to you folks' work, that was well done, and it'll help us get this wrapped up sooner. Thanks.
I echo Gary's sentiment. Well done.
And that was a coordinated effort with ICU, so appreciated Doug looking together with them. And then one last thing, the three mayors, local mayors who were here, were in Juneau for a municipal meeting, and I took the opportunity to get together with them to have lunch. And make sure that they were helping us to deal with some of the suggested a term to him, and they indicated to me and that they had communicated to the governor when they got together with the governor about a month ago, that they are very much behind this utility consolidation. They very much understand that under the consolidated utility, there needs to be a focus on making that entity successful. And while there may be some other things that can help on the periphery, you first have to make sure that this utility is successful.
Well, I would like to thank you both, particularly, you know, when you have a $47 million project, in my world, typically what we hear from the owner is the contractor is, well, we're waiting for permits, we have this delay and that delay, and this board took some action, I think, the first part of December, and shortly thereafter, the construction began, and that's a great accomplishment. Everything was in place, ready to go. I would say that's very rare on a $47 million project that there is not some hiccup, some agency somewhere in Hinkleland putting a roadblock up just to make sure it's more T's than you cross the I's on. So from my experience, I appreciate that.
And I know you're all excited about Dan's app, but you can ask him to get going.
Why is the senator always a senator? Take the boy out of
juvenile.
I tell you, legislative humor is different. I mean, it's totally different.
Just to think about it, if we are thinking about August, Dan, the quicker we can nail that down.
Well, our meeting's August 8th. Isn't that correct?
August 9th.
August 9th. Okay. Do you want to? So that's the date. Put it in. Thank you.
Coincides right with that?
Yeah, sure.
Dan,
okay.
It says they're going to have completed outer shell tank. So there you go. There's your milestone.
Unfortunately, I might have to have someone else host because I'm going to be in Italy for my 25th wedding anniversary. That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So thank you for the IEP update. Next up is the executive session on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the board enter into an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project and Mustang Operations Center, Washington.
Second.
Objection? No, open executive session. Where are we going? Are we here or are we going?
You can either meet in here, kick all of us out, or go in the action room. Because as far as I know, you have nobody calling in for the executive session.
All right, we're going to
the action room. Okay.
I don't know why.
You're back on the record.
Thank you. I'd like to advise the board that it's not taking any formal action on matters discussed in the executive session. That brings us up to item number C, which is resolution number G18-02 relating to the operating agreement budget revolving around the credit for Mustang Road LLC.
Item 7A, resolution number G18-02 regards revising the operating agreement between Ada and Mr. LLC to reflect Ada's 100% ownership of Mr. LLC, approving a budget for Mr. LLC for the remainder of FY 2018, and approving a $300,000 line of credit from Ada to Mr. LLC. At this time, I ask Mark Gardner and Brett Applegate to join us at the table.
So, Mr. Chairman, of the board, as you recall, we've been going through the process of the ownership of Mr. LLC becoming 100% ADA. What this resolution does is approve a revised operating agreement that reflects that, approves a budget for Mr. LLC for the remainder of the fiscal year, and then provisions for a $300,000 line of credit. The other parts of the agreements that involve the payment from the users to Mr. LLC for the use of the road not yet effective, and therefore there needs to be a short-term line of credit to have funds to meet the obligations of Mr. LLC for the rest of the fiscal year.
Okay. Brenda,
No, I think that pretty much covers it. You know, as now that Mr. LLC is 100% owned by Ada, the board is the governing body of the LLC, and we thought it was appropriate that the board would approve a budget for the LLC. And as an organization, they'll have some bills that will need to be paid, so we felt like there needed to be a line of credit to provide working capital.
Okay. Questions from the board? Do I hear a question? Call for a question?
Do you have a on the table?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, move that we approve G18-02.
I'll second that.
Ian, Train, would you pull the board?
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Commissioner Perry?
Aye.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Thank Commissioner Barnhill?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Water in the bridge.
Yeah. Next up is item number 8, directed comments. John?
First, I wanted to thank the board yesterday for guidance during the work session on Ada's direction at that site for risk and its requirements for returns. We will continue to focus Ada's core business on financing the development of commercial and industrial assets and infrastructure for Alaska's earning industries such as oil and gas, mining, commercial real estate, timber, seafood, and tourism. We will prepare and present a plan forward and work to answer the question of what types of risks Ada should take and what returns Ada should expect, both financially and in meeting its mission of job creation and retention and revenue generation for the state. Other than that, the loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices, and project fact sheet updates are available for your review. A copy of the Calendar Quarterly Report has been provided and is also available for review in my office. Continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending the course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next Ada board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, April 26, 2018 at Ada's office.
Thank you, John. Board comments on item number 9. Gary?
Mr. Chairman, for the information of the board, I sent the chair resigning from the budget audit committee. And this was the first year we did that was last year, and that was stood up by Brenda and by board member Kennedy. And frankly, I was participated, but I was just on the one hand clapping. I was totally out of my league. I had no idea what they were talking about. And it just occurred to me that it was a waste of my time to even pretend that I knew what they were doing. And it also occurred to me that I'm taking up a seat that other people on this board would be much better trained to participate and follow Brenda's excellent lead. So I just want to let you know that, and I'll help where I can. The chair looks around for each of you who are looking at your shoes. He'll have someone else. Hopefully help. So thank you for opportunity, and thank you for your understanding. And Brenda, thanks. Good work. Pretty easy stuff.
So let's see. That was you and Fred and
Dan.
Okay. Now we're down two. It's like the subcommittee chair. Any further comments from board members? I'd like to thank everybody again today for such a good meeting. Ada, John, your staff, participants, and board members. With that, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great. Thank you. So.